Good afternoon, 4:30 and 49 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
It took us everyone completely by surprise. It was just a shock. We could not comprehend it.
Moorhead historian Dr. Jack Ellis remembers the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor on this date in 1941.
The former Ashland official indicted in the disappearance of $200,000 worth of tires has died.
And tomorrow is Inauguration Day in Kentucky for Matt Bevin.
In sports, it's the Redskins and the Cowboys in Monday Night Football.
But Luke has the stocks.
Mostly cloudy and foggy tonight, lows in the 30s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The former Ashland official charged with abuse of the public trust following the disappearance of more than $200,000 in tires from the city of Ashland has died. WSAZ is reporting that 56-year-old Joseph Burris died Sunday evening after being rushed from his home by ambulance to a hospital. The cause of death was not immediately released. Burris is the former supervisor of the city garage and was indicted earlier this year by a grand jury. His trial had been scheduled for March.
Montgomery County firefighters are mourning the death of one of their own. 30-year-old Zach Clevenger died in his sleep Saturday after battling a structure fire in Estill County late Friday night. The county's fire chief is Larry Potter. He tells WLEX it's a tragic loss.
Very upstanding young man, a lot of possibilities for him. Rose in rank really quick to captain at our number one station down in the city of Mount Sterling.
Clevenger had been a member of the Montgomery County Fire and EMS squad for 7 years. The cause of his death has not yet been determined, but officials are saying he died in the line of duty.
A 6-year-old is dead after he was stabbed during a home invasion. The story from KNN's Will Clark.
The boy was killed during an attempted burglary in Versailles.
The coroner says that little Logan Tipton died after he was stabbed multiple times while he was sleeping. The accused killer, 32-year-old Ronald Exantis, is charged with murder.
WKYT's Mark Barber says Tipton's father managed to wrestle Exantis away from a knife before officers arrived. Exantis is facing murder and burglary charges. I'm Will Clark.
According to WSAZ, a 26-year-old man faces charges of reckless driving, wanton endangerment, unlawful imprisonment, and resisting arrest following a high-speed chase through Boyd County early Sunday. Police claim Andrew Lee Williams was driving at speeds of more than 120 miles per hour and ran several cars off the road before he was stopped. They say Williams' auto was halted by spike strips in Greenup County around 10 o'clock.
The company hired to prepare the site where Rowan County's new detention center will be built is starting that work this week. As Judge Executive Walter Blevins notes, Specialty Contracting of Highland, Illinois, earned the job last month by submitting a bid of $178,000.
They've got 90 days to complete the demolition, and first thing they got to do is put up a perimeter fence, and we want to keep that perimeter fence because it'll also help us. We'll have that ready for when the construction starts so you can keep people out of the construction site as well.
Actual construction on Rowan County's new 250-bed detention center will begin next spring. The facility will be located on U.S. 60 East.
Governor-elect Matt Bevin has selected his adjutant general. Paul Miles reports.
Brigadier General Stephen Hogan has been appointed adjutant general and will lead the Department of Military Affairs. A native of Hebron in northern Kentucky, Hogan has more than 30 years of military service. He formerly served as assistant adjutant general for the Kentucky Army National Guard. Hogan succeeds Major General Ed Tonini, who is retiring after 47 years of military service. I'm Paul Miles.
University of Kentucky political analyst Stephen Voss says he's not expecting any sweeping changes in the early weeks of Governor-elect Matt Bevin's administration. Josh James spoke with Voss this afternoon.
Many questions linger as Bevin prepares to recite the oath of office. Just what will become of the state's much-vaunted Medicaid expansion, what changes could be in store for Kentucky's ailing pension system, and how the political outsider plans to govern. The uncertainty has Democrats worried and Republicans hopeful, but Voss warns voters not to fall for overly dire or rosy predictions.
Usually people listen to campaign rhetoric, which tends to promise dramatic change, and then they're surprised that things don't change quite as radically as they were led to expect. Sometimes, you know, they're happy about that if they're on the other side, and sometimes they're disappointed when they don't get from the elected leaders everything that they had hoped they could get from campaign season.
And while Democrats maintain a slight edge in the House of Representatives, Voss says the party's moderate and conservative wings could help pave the way for compromise during the upcoming General Assembly session. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
A Clay City woman has filed to run for the state Senate in Bath, Menifee, Powell, Estill, Jackson, and Laurel counties. Democrat Janice Odom will be a candidate in the 21st District, which is currently represented by Republican Albert Robinson. Odom is with Bellamy Fleming Publishing, which publishes children's books and magazines.
State Representative Jill York doesn't see a downside to allowing Kentucky's microbrewers to produce more beer. The Grayson Republican serves on the State General Assembly's Interim Joint Committee on Economic Development. The Kentucky Guild of Brewers is asking the legislature to allow an increase in their production capacity from 25,000 to 50,000 barrels per year. The group's president says it'll create jobs in the industry and boost tax revenues. York says it's good for agriculture, too.
Of course, we all see economic impact where the tap room is, where your brewery is, but you've also got a lot of good Kentucky farmers that are growing your materials for use in that, and that keeps spreading that impact in the communities.
York spoke today at a committee hearing in Frankfort.
Even though the Kentucky General Assembly took action earlier this year to stabilize the state gas tax, Deputy Transportation Secretary Russ Romine says revenues are still expected to be down next year by about $130 million. He says that was the most revenue forecast from Kentucky's Consensus Forecasting Group. Kentucky's gas tax is tied to the wholesale price of fuel, so when the cost falls at the pump, tax collections do as well. However, lawmakers voted this year to set a floor of 26 cents for the tax, so it cannot drop any lower, regardless of how much further the cost might come down. Romine admits, however, it's really hard to tell just how many miles Kentuckians are going to drive next year if they have more money to fill their tanks.
Reason would tell me that with lower gas prices, you're going to have more vehicle miles traveled. If you have more vehicle miles traveled, people are purchasing, consuming more fuel. So that does somewhat offset the lower, obviously, tax rate that we have.
Romine says the Consensus Forecasting Group is going to meet again this month to update its projection on road fund revenues for next year.
A Marion County lawmaker says he believes there's some credence to claims that pay rates within the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet are unfair. State Representative Terry Mills is a Democrat who serves on the House Transportation Committee. Not surprisingly, he says, the complaints are coming from workers on the lower end of the scale. However, Mills thinks they have some validity. He's quick to add, they're the people Kentuckians depend on when severe weather strikes.
As we move forward with the funding struggles that we're obviously having and going to continue to have, a reminder that there is a human aspect to this, and that's the employees who work for the cabinet, especially out there, the ones who are getting ready right now to keep our roads clear as the snow piles up.
Mills made his comments last week to Transportation Secretary Mike Hancock during a public hearing in Frankfort.
An Eastern Kentucky City Council has approved buying some vehicles for the town's police department. Xavier Atkins has the details.
According to the Ashland Independent, the Flatwood City Council last Thursday okayed the purchase of 8 new police cruisers. The city will be buying them from a Florida company which submitted a low bid of just over $329,000. Councilman Carl Wheeler questioned whether it was a good idea financially for Flatwoods to buy all 8 vehicles at once, citing fears about the city's uncertain financial future because of the closing of the nearby AK Steel plant. Wheeler suggested the town only purchase 4 vehicles for right now. Mayor Ron Fields disagreed with Wheeler, as did 2 other council members. Fields broke a 2-2 tie in the vote as the purchase was approved. 2 council members did not attend last Thursday's meeting. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I am Xavier Atkins.
Morehead State University's president says he's committed to making the campus more diverse. Dr. Wayne Andrews and other school officials met with a group of students last month who think MSU could take additional steps to speed up the process. Andrews says those students told him that things may not be as good at MSU as he and other officials think they are.
In other words, students have a point of view around some issues of diversity and inclusion that is not what we want it to be. We can improve. So what I committed to that group of students at that forum is we're going to continue the dialogue. We're going to sit down. We're going to try to make sure we understand those things that must change, and we're going to work together to make that happen.
Prior to the forum on diversity, Andrew says MSU had already committed to doubling the number of scholarships for African American students. Of the nearly 11,000 students on the Morehead campus, 378 are black.
A program at the University of Kentucky is using a $5 million grant from the U.S. Department of Education to help first-generation and low-income students navigate college. The Lexington Herald Leader reports Student Support Services is part of the university's Office of Institutional Diversity and that its main goal is to improve graduation and retention rates among students at the highest risk of dropping out. It offers a broad umbrella of services, including tutoring, as well as workshops in study skills and personal and career mentoring.
The president and CEO of the Marine Toys for Tots Foundation says the effort is off to a good start in the Bluegrass. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
Local Toys for Tots coordinator Bruce Gifford says Kentucky children have been among the chief beneficiaries of the national effort, and several Morehead businesses are helping with the campaign, which collects toys for underprivileged kids. Those businesses include Fast Lane, Fazoli's, Cellular Sales, and Aaron's. Lieutenant General Pete Osman is president and CEO of the National Toys for Tots Foundation.
Even though it's still early in the campaign, and I can't give you specifics at this point about number of toys collected or whatnot, or number of children received toys, because we're still working all that, the fact of the matter is, with the corporate support we've gotten thus far, we're well positioned at this point to make sure that we're able to continue to support the less fortunate children in Kentucky.
The local campaign serves Rowan, Bath, Montgomery, and Menifee counties. For MSPR, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The Kentucky Historical Society says its small grant program for local history organizations is enhancing the appreciation and understanding of Kentucky's past throughout the Commonwealth. Scott Alvey is deputy director of the KHS. He says the grants, ranging from $500 to $1,500, have removed huge barriers for local groups pursuing ambitious projects on a budget.
Let me give you a couple of examples. Teresa Osborne utilized funding through the Kentucky Oral History Commission. Her and Phyllis Sizemore captured Appalachian oral histories and used those collections to produce a radio program, History Alive. This has been airing for 6 years now. But by providing a small grant to borrow equipment, they were able to create this program.
Alvey says similar initiatives have been made possible in many other parts of Kentucky. He says such programs help people understand why history matters and provide context for what's happening today.
And finally this afternoon, for Rowan County's most noted historian, the Japanese attack on the American naval base at Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941, still burns brightly in his mind. Dr. Jack Ellis was 14 years old that Sunday. He says he was practicing for an upcoming minstrel show in the auditorium of the old Breckenridge Training School on the Morehead State College campus when two friends stopped by to tell everyone what had happened. According to Ellis, the military action by the Japanese caught everyone by surprise.
On the coast where there was shipping coming in, they might have known more about that. But here in the inner part of the nation, it took us everyone completely by surprise. It was just a shock. We could not comprehend it.
Ellis says he, his family, and friends then glued themselves to the radios in their homes to find out the details of what had happened at Pearl Harbor. 3 years later, Ellis enlisted and served in the U.S. Army Air Corps.
And turning to take a look at your weather for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with patchy fog late. Lows will be in the upper 30s. For Tuesday, partly sunny skies, patchy fog early, highs near 53 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly clear with lows in the upper 30s. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers in the morning and again in the afternoon. Highs will be around 55 degrees and the chance of rain is at 30%. For Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers. Lows will be in the lower 40s. Thursday, partly sunny, highs in the upper 50s. It is currently 48 degrees in Ashland, 48 degrees in Flemingsburg, it's 46 degrees in Inez, it's 48 degrees in Lexington and Winchester. Right here in Moorhead, it is currently 49 degrees.
4:46, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, the recent safety violation conviction of former Massey CEO Don Blankenship could send a message to his peers about keeping a safe work environment. West Virginia News Service's Dan Hyman has the story.
Don Blankenship has been convicted of conspiring to hide dangers at Massey coal mines. Workplace safety experts say it's a warning for other executives. The former Massey CEO was found guilty of conspiring to deceive Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration inspectors. The misdemeanor charge was the least serious of the three facing Blankenship, but could still bring a year in prison. Ellen Smith with Mine Safety and Health News says executives who deal with MSHA and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration have been paying attention to the two-month-long trial.
What this is going to do is put executives on notice. If they know of problems, they better take care of it. And it's not just MSHA, but OSHA as well.
Blankenship has argued that federal regulators and an act of God, a sudden release of methane from the rocks, were responsible for the mine disaster at Upper Big Branch that killed 29 miners 5 years ago. Several investigations contradict that. It was unusual for a mine operator to face any criminal charges. Blankenship says he was singled out for his conservative Republican political activism, and his attorneys say he plans to appeal. But prosecutors argue that he fostered a system that gave Massey miners advance notice of mine inspections, and they used the time to cover up dangers. Smith says Blankenship's lawyers argued that Massey mines were no worse than others, but she says that doesn't match the public record.
And this is something that Blankenship's attorney kept saying. It's impossible to go through an MSHA inspection without a citation. That is not true. It happens all of the time.
Smith adds the corporate culture at companies like Massey can put an enormous amount of pressure on employees to accept dangers that they shouldn't have to put up with.
It's really hard to complain when you have to work in conditions like that, knowing that you are the sole breadwinner, you're the one with the insurance benefits, you're the one who pays for your kids and your wife's health care benefits.
After the disaster at Upper Big Branch, Blankenship retired and Richmond-based Massey was bought by Virginia-based Alpha Natural Resources. For the West Virginia News Service, I'm Dan Hyman.
It is 4:48. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock right here on WMKY, and Jared has sports next.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry created by artisans from across America and natural pieces found all over the world. Eat Gallery offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, pocket knives, rings, and necklaces. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Two teams fighting for their respective seasons. Good evening, reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley. The Monday night football matchup features a pair of longtime rivals still hoping to win a divisional title. Chuck Mraz reports.
Normally a 5-6 record would not mean much at this juncture of the NFL season, but it has the Washington Redskins at the top of the week NFC East by a half game over both Philadelphia and the New York Giants. The Skins will host a Dallas team tonight that's 3-8, but still in the hunt in the division. With Tony Romo now out for the season, the Cowboys will go back to second-stringer Matt Castle at quarterback, who struggled earlier. Red-hot Kirk Cousins will lead Washington. He passed for almost 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns in his last five games. For MSPR Sports, I'm Chuck Moraz.
Sunday's 37-3 romp over the Browns in Cleveland helped the Cincinnati Bengals improve their record to 10-2 for the first time since 1975. The Bengals have been playing with the same core of key guys for the past 5 years, and quarterback Andy Dalton says they all understand just how special that accomplishment is.
Definitely. I think just we understand this team, we understand the guys, and guys are playing for each other, which is a lot of fun to see. So we got to keep it up.
Dalton passed for two touchdowns and ran for another in leading the Bengals over the Browns. Cincinnati hosts rival Pittsburgh next Sunday. According to Will Clark of the Associated Press, Western Kentucky and Louisville are both going to bowl games, but Louisville's is almost a home game. The Cards will play in Nashville December the 30th in the Music City Bowl against Texas A&M in the first meeting of the two programs since November of 1994. The Hilltoppers will be taking their talents to South Beach to play in the Miami Beach Bowl December the 21st against former Western Kentucky University head coach Willie Taggart and the University of South Florida. The Rowan County girls basketball team has semifinal action in the EKC tournament tonight at West Carter High School. The Lady Vikings face Russell tonight at 6. Even though her team is 2-0, Rowan coach Elaine Douglas says it needs to get better defensively.
I'm a defensive coach, and the defense is just never good enough to suit me. And we try to pound that home to the girls every practice, but if we're lacking anywhere, it's defense. We're just not as quick as I would like for us to be.
Russell has an early season record of 2-1. A member of the Morehead State men's basketball team vows the Eagles will bounce back from Saturday's 92-59 drubbing at the hands of Indiana. Senior forward Lionel Gaines says MSU took something very important away from the experience.
The main word is humble. Humbled us and made us know that we got to work extremely hard, especially Coach Woods. Every time we go to the bench, he would tell us, now you see how hard y'all can work. That's the main thing we took away. We got humble and we got to work extremely hard. How we can get fall right down, we're trying to get right back up.
Gaines led 5-2 Morehead with 13 points against the Hoosiers. The Eagles shot just 31% from the field and turned the ball over 23 times. The Eagles visit Pittsburgh next Sunday. The Morehead State women's basketball team starts finals week on campus on a high note. Behind Natalie Greenwell's 23 points, the Eagles won over the weekend at Lipscomb 92-77. The triumph snapped MSU's three-game losing streak, and Coach Greg Todd says his team was finally rewarded for actually playing some decent ball in recent days.
Last Saturday, we were playing Chicago State, and probably the only disappointing game effort-wise, but I thought the last couple games against Miami and certainly some points against West Virginia been good. So it's been good. We knew it would be a game that would be winnable if we played well.
The 4-5 Morehead women travel to Southern Illinois for a game on Saturday. The Kentucky men's basketball team has fallen off the ranks of the unbeaten and henceforth shaken up the top 25. Here's AP correspondent Jack Briggs.
Michigan State is now the top team in the Associated Press men's college basketball poll. This marks the first time for the Spartans in the number one spot since early in the 2013-14 season. The 9-0 Spartans replaced Kentucky and received 62 of the 65 first-place votes. Second-ranked Kansas got one first-place nod, while third-ranked North Carolina, the preseason number one, got the remaining two. The rest of the top five features Iowa State and Kentucky. Your second five consists of Maryland, Oklahoma, Duke, Villanova, and Virginia. This is Jack Briggs.
Baseball's winter meetings are getting started in Nashville. The Cincinnati Reds are expected to be active as they seek to rebound from last season's disastrous 64-98 finish. During the club's recent Reds Fest, new general manager Dick Williams told the audience that the team will do that by rebuilding around a core of young talent.
What we did in 06, 07, and 08 was we took our farm system from one of the lowest ranked to one of the highest ranked. In that case, there were a lot of position players that were a part of that movement, Frazier and Bruce, and there were a lot of pitchers that were part of that movement. We've got to replicate that. It helps to start with a lot of pitching, But at some point, we'll have to fill in with the position players.
And finally tonight in sports, speaking of the Reds, they have agreed to trade hard-throwing reliever Aroldis Chapman to the Los Angeles Dodgers pending approval of medical records. Chapman, a 27-year-old right-hander, is eligible for free agency after next year's World Series. He threw the 62 fastest pitches in the big leagues this year, ranging from 103.92 miles per hour to 102.36 miles per hour. That according to Major League Baseball's StatCast computer system. And that will do it for sports tonight. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Single game and season tickets for men's and women's basketball are now on sale, including 16 OVC contests beginning January 7th. You can find tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Shanna Kelly from Ashland offices with Hilliard Lyons. U.S. stocks closed lower Monday, weighed by a sharp decline in energy as oil plunged to a near 7 low. Stocks ended off sessions low, but the Dow Jones Industrial Average failed to hold in positive territory for the year as Chevron and ExxonMobil both closed down more than 2.5%. Goldman Sachs also weighed. The index closed about 115 points lower after earlier falling 206 points. The Dow Jones closed at 17,730.51, NASDAQ closed at 5101, and the S&P closed at 2077. Ashland stock closed at $110.89, down $2.21. CSX closed at $26.03, down $0.83. MPC closed at $53.70, down $1.93. And AK Steel closed at $2.11, down $0.16. The greatest sector decliners were natural gas, sensitive names, Consul, Williams Koss, One OK, and Devon Energy, which plunged more than 10% each. Natural gas settled down 5.4% at $2,067 for its lowest settle since October 28th. Treasury yields held lower, with the two-year yield at 0.93% and the 10-year yield at 2.24% in the close. In individual stock news, Chipotle Mexican Grill closed down about 1.7% after briefly falling more than 4.5% in intraday trade. After the company on Friday issued a fourth-quarter warning and said its sales have been hammered due to an E. coli outbreak, Keurig Green Mountain closed nearly 72% higher to end just below $90 a share after the firm said it had agreed to be taken private by an investor group led by JAB Holding for $92 a share in cash. Trade volume was more than quadruple its 30-day average. General Electric closed about 0.4% lower after its deal to sell its appliances business to Swedish appliance maker Electrolux fell through, Reuters reported. The agreement, which had been announced last year, would have been Electrolux's largest acquisition ever. Good afternoon. This is Shanna Kelly with the Ashland office at Hilliard Lyons with your daily report.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Innovation Network at MSU. The Innovation Network supports and promotes entrepreneurship by providing business consulting to entrepreneurs, small businesses, innovative nonprofits, and inventors. The network also works in Eastern Kentucky schools to teach entrepreneurship and promote the high-tech industries of the future, such as drones and space science. To learn how the Innovation Network helps the entrepreneurs of today while encouraging the entrepreneurs of tomorrow, the phone number is 606-783-9536.
And taking a final look at your weather for tonight, mostly cloudy with patchy fog late. Lows will be in the upper 30s. Tuesday, partly sunny with patchy fog early. Highs around 53 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly clear with lows in the upper 30s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers in the morning. And again in the afternoon, that chance of rain is at 30%.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Jared Wesley, Braxton Howard, Jacob Lindberg, and Xavier Adkins. From WUKY, Josh James. From the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles and Will Clark. And from the West Virginia News Connection, Dan Hyman. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next.